Talk about what lies before us in this new year, and there are a lot of great things. Those who were here at the New Year's Eve gathering know that whenever Greg, one of our elders, talked about the new year, he said there's some really good and exciting things that are happening, and we really believe they are, and you'll be hearing a lot more about those in the next 2 weeks as we talk about Mission Sunday contribution that comes up the last Sunday of this month. And those who've been here in the past know that this will be, I think, our fourth year to set aside one Sunday, and every dollar that's given on that day will be devoted to mission work. Our regular budget operates the church, and we run that on the 51 weeks contribution, but this one Sunday, every nickel, every dime, every penny, every quarter, every half dollar, every $2, $5, $10, $20, $50, $100, $10,000, whatever size money you've got in your pocket, it'll all go to mission work. So please be aware of that, and we'll be talking about that. But I want us today to talk about the commitment that we have to the Lord. We need to recognize that there are three levels of commitment, and God expects us to be committed. You cannot serve the Lord and not be committed. But we need to understand that there are at least three levels of commitment the Bible talks about. And that's what really this lesson is all about. And the design of this lesson is to cause each one of us at the beginning of a new year, and what better time is there than that, at the beginning of a new year to renew our devotion and our commitment to the Lord and say, I'm going to be more committed this year than in any other year I've ever lived on this earth. My life is 1 year shorter than it was a year ago. And realizing that, this is going to be the year in which I surpass every other year in the kind of commitment that I make to the Lord. Now, to understand that and appreciate that, hear the words of the greatest commandment that God ever gave. In the book of Matthew, they came to Jesus and said, what is the greatest commandment that you have, that God has ever given? And He took the words from Deuteronomy chapter 6, the words that were read to us. Hear, O Israel, be careful and observe that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your the God of your fathers promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. And there they were. They were 45 days away from being in the promised land. They were ready to go in. And Moses gathers them all together and he says to them, listen, hear, listen to me, Israel. God is going to bless you with a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Therefore, he says, you have a responsibility to love Him. And verse 5 says, you shall love the Lord thy God with all of your heart and all of your soul and with all of your strength. And you take these words that are commandments and you write them on your hearts. I want to tell you something. Visitors and friends and members and brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to understand the God of heaven says you need to engrave these on your heart. This is the greatest thing in the whole of the Bible. The greatest thing God ever said. The greatest commandment. Put these in your heart. Love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Now recognize there are three levels of commitment. And we need to understand that in all likelihood, we are at one of these three levels today. And so the design of this lesson is to cause me and to you to think about where we are and the kind of devotion and service we're giving to God, and to encourage us, not in a negative fussing kind of way, but in a way of admonition to encourage every one of us to be edified and to walk out of this building today saying, I am really, really going to serve God better this year. Now, as you think about those levels of commitment, we need to recognize that there are some people that have no commitment to God. And I recognize that this graph illustrates some commitment. I didn't know how you would illustrate no commitment without putting something on the screen there. And the reason it's that small is that none is about that big as you look at the visual that's connected with this. There are people who have almost no commitment. There are people who have total non-commitment. But we need to understand that that will never be acceptable to God nor has it ever been acceptable to God. Hear, O Israel, love the Lord thy God with all of your heart. Open up your heart. Lay it out before God and say, come into my heart. But there are some people who are determined that's not going to happen. And the Lord described them through the prophet Zechariah when the Lord of hosts said to the people of Israel, show mercy, show compassion, everyone to his brother. You think of how hard-hearted and non-concerned and self-centered America is in this day. So little compassion being shown. We hear of things that are going on, and as a nation, we turn a deaf ear to all of the needs of those that are around us. And there's all of those descriptions of just needs that are there. People dying of loneliness and being dead inside some apartment here in Palm Beach County for 4 or 5 days before anybody ever even knows or recognizes it. No compassion at all. And yet the Lord said to Israel, as he said through Jesus, by the way, in reference to compassion, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was sick, I was in prison, I was naked, and you did not do anything to me, and you're going to hell because you didn't show compassion to one of these, the least of these, my brethren. And so to the Old Testament prophet, he said, you show mercy, you show compassion, and you be careful that you show attention to the widows. Isn't that a New Testament principle? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Pure religion is not just worshiping God in a right way and doing it on a regular basis. James chapter 1 verse 27 ties a New Testament passage to this Old Testament passage where God said through Zechariah, don't oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. And when the Lord said this, they refused to hear. They shrugged their shoulders. They stopped their ears so that they could not hear. They made their heart like flint. Even though the Lord had given them the law, they refused to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through the prophets. You understand what's happened? Young people, when your parents were your age, they knew how to do this. When their mamas and daddies said to them, here's what I want you to do, they stopped their ears, they shrugged their shoulders, and they made their hearts adamant against parents. Don't you be like your mamas and daddies. Honor thy father and thy mother. Mamas and daddies, and everyone who is here this day, listen to your Father above. Whenever God speaks, don't you be that kind of individual who says, well, I know that this is from the Bible. I'm sitting, I'm in a Bible class, I'm listening to a sermon, I'm reading the Bible, and I see that in the Bible, and what do? I just make my heart just as hard as it can be, and the Word of God trying to get inside my heart, the sword of the Spirit trying to pierce my heart. My heart is not open to God. God, I don't care what you say, I'm not going to do it. That's a level of commitment, of non-commitment. Do you know that can happen to us? Do you know that that can happen to those of you who sit here this day? Christians can get to that point. Hebrews chapter 6 says that it is impossible to bring some people back to God. Listen to the words. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened, that's Christians, folks, those who've been born into the family of God, they've tasted the heavenly gift, they've become partakers of the Spirit. It is impossible if those who have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. Do you hear that, brother and sister in Christ? Do you know that the year 2008, at the end of this year, this very passage could describe you? Think about those who used to sit in this auditorium right beside you, to whom it has happened. And the pleadings of brethren and the pleadings of family and the pleadings of heaven itself, their heart is such an adamant stone that the God is trying to get into their heart and the sword of the Spirit is trying to pierce their heart, but they're determined they're not going to listen to God. And it could happen to every one of us, to every person in this room, including myself, including the elders, including the deacons, including the Bible class teachers. It could happen to any one of us. Could become so hardened against God that whenever we hear the Son of God being crucified, we say, that doesn't make any difference to me. I shall never forget one sister in this church, a great, great soul winner, who fell away. And as I was talking to her, she says, "Dan, there's no need for you to say anything to me. I know what you're going to say before you say it, because I've said it to others. And I'm not going to serve God." Folks, that's serious. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." But there's another level of commitment. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." But there is that level of commitment that can be described as a divided heart. Not somebody who's adamant against God. Not somebody who has no interest at all in what God says. In some parts of their life, they are really, really interested in what the God of heaven says. But their heart is divided. In fact, that very expression is found in Hosea chapter 10, where the Bible talks about Israel emptied his vine. He brings forth fruit for himself according to the multitudes of his fruit. He's increased the altars according to the bounty of his hands. They've embellished the sacred pillars. References to idolatries. And then he says, their heart is divided. Do you understand? At the same time, Hosea writes these words, there's a temple in Jerusalem. Even though they're up in that northern kingdom, they could have gone to Jerusalem to worship God, could have used the Levitical priesthood, could have used the altars, could have used all of that. And in a sense, they were in that sense somewhat devoted to God. But their heart was divided. You remember we talked a moment ago about how they were 45 days from the promised land when the Lord says, "Love the Lord with all of your heart." Are you aware of the fact that just 11 days later, at the end of that book, they were ready to go into the promised land? And the Lord had said, "I've sent hornets into this land to drive out all of the people. This land is yours. It flows with milk and honey." And when they send the spies out, the 12 spies, they come back and they say, "Indeed, the land flows with milk and honey. It's a marvelous, beautiful land. It's everything that God said it was going to be." Does that sound like heaven to you? Isn't that the way we think about heaven? Living in a wilderness like they are, and there is that which lies beyond our promised land, and we can figuratively describe it as a land that flows with milk and honey, gates of pearl and streets of gold. And the people said, "And that's exactly like it is." But 10 of those spies said, "We can't take it." So the Lord was angry. So the Lord's anger was aroused on that day, and he swore with an oath, saying, "None of these men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above, none of them shall see the land that I swear to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, listen, because they have not wholly followed me. Numbers 32:10-11. Wait a minute. They were keeping the Sabbath. Wait a minute. They were keeping the Day of Atonement. Wait a minute. They were keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Wait a minute. They were keeping all of the appointed holy days. Wait a minute. They had the priesthood. They had the altar. They had the tabernacle. Wait a minute. And in spite of the fact that they had all of the makings of a church, God got angry at them. And God said of that 603,550 men who left the land of Egypt 20 years of age and above, not a single one of them will enter into that land. And then He makes the exception of two, Joshua and Caleb. But He says not a one of them is going to enter that land. Because, paraphrasing, they did not love me with all of their heart. A heart that was divided. You think there's not a lesson from that for us? The Hebrew writer in chapter 3 looks at this very incident and says, therefore I was angry with that generation, and they said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they've not known my way, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Beware, brethren, divine inspired writer, beware, watch out. And if the writer of the Hebrew letter were here this very day, he could tell this very story that he tells in the book of Hebrews about those who perished in the wilderness. And the writer of the Hebrew letter could stand right here this day and say to every member, to every Christian, to every person here, beware, watch out, be careful, brethren, lest in any of you, underline the word any, there's not a person in this room to whom this verse is not applicable. If it happened to 99.99% of those who left the land of Egypt, it could happen to any one of us. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. There's another illustration of a divided heart. It's found in 2 Kings whenever Elisha is about to die. King Joash comes to Elisha. Elisha's on his sickbed. And Joash walks in and he recalls what had happened to Elijah, who ascended to heaven in a chariot of fire and in the whirlwind. And Elisha had prayed that he might have double the spirit of Elijah. Elijah performed 7 miracles. Elisha performed 14 miracles. There's your double spirit, or at least the manifestation of it. And so the king walks in and says, oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen, you're about to die. And Elisha says, take a bow and some arrows. And he picks up the bows and the arrows and he says, now open the window that faces the east. Put your hand on the bow and shoot these arrows out. And so the man shot the arrows. And Elisha said, that arrow that you shot is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance against Syria. Elisha says, I'm about to die, King Joash, and there's that Assyrian army that's there, that massive Assyrian army that's threatening Israel. Open the window and shoot out an arrow. And the arrow is the arrow of the Lord against the Syrians, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek, till you have destroyed them. And then he says, now, take the rest of those arrows. And take the rest of those arrows, and he says, strike the ground with them. And the king takes that bundle of arrows and he hits down three times on the earth. Look at it. And the man of God was angry. Why? The man of God said, you should have struck four or five times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. Half-hearted service. Joash, take the arrows. Hit the ground with those arrows. And the lack of diligence and devotion and half-heartedness manifested by Elisha at that time created the anger of a prophet of God against the man, because he said, now you'll only be able to strike them three times. If you'd done what should have been done, the enemy would have been destroyed. Fellow Christian, you and I have an enemy. He's walking about seeking to destroy us. And the Lord says to us, put on the whole armor of God. Go out and fight the battle. And the lesson from the story of Elisha and Joash is, don't you dare fight that battle half-hearted. You put all of your heart, you put all of your soul into that. Because if you don't, you leave yourself vulnerable to the enemy. And after the time of Joash, Syria once again came against Israel. Parents, grandparents, manifest before your children and your grandchildren what faith is all about, so that they may be protected, because in your life you did not strike the earth three times, but with all of the heart and energy and devotion that you have, you gave your all to the Lord, and there never was any doubt in the life, in the hearts of your children or grandchildren, that the most important thing on this earth is the kingdom of God. In the new year, brother and sister in Christ, strike the earth, but don't stop. God being our helper, let us make a promise to God, this is the year of growth for me. Because you see, there is that third level of service. And that is to follow the Lord with all of our hearts. Go back to that text once again, Deuteronomy chapter 6. The most important thing God ever said, the most important commandment God ever gave, love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, underline the word all. We mentioned that time coming out of Egypt and the fact that there were two men who did go into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. They lived throughout all of that. They were the oldest men who entered into the promised land. And when they got into the promised land, Caleb said, you remember where I went to spy, down where the giants were, that the 10 spies says there are giants in the lands where the Anakims live? You know that mountainous area that's down there where I went and where I tried to get Israel to say, Let us go up now and enter the land of promise. And they had a divided heart. They perished in the wilderness because of their divided heart. Joshua says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people to melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Look at that. Your life will cause a melting and a lack of devotion in those that are around you. You want your home to be spiritual? Divided hearts melts the hearts of those that are around them. I beg of you, my brethren, in this new year, serve the Lord with all of your heart. Not with a divided heart, Caleb said. Verse 8, but I wholly follow the Lord. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you've wholly followed the Lord. And then Caleb said, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive for 45 years. I'm 85 years of age. And for 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now I am this day 85 years old, and as yet I'm as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming here. Therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And he did it at 85 years of age. Senior citizen, older members of this church, stand in awe of the fidelity and the devotion of a man who at 85 years of age was not ready to quit and retire from serving God. And young people, 15 years of age, commit yourself to God right now so that 70 years from now, at 85 years, you'll say, I'm just as devoted to God then as I was when I was a teenager. 40-year-old Christian in this audience, if by the grace of God you live to be 85, let this be the year that you make that determination that says, I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. One other illustration, and then we quit. Before they ever get to Kadesh Barnea, before the spies are ever sent out, they're ready to build that beautiful tabernacle where God is to be worshipped. The book of Exodus, chapter 35. Moses spake to all the congregation of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded you. Take an offering up. Whoever has a willing heart, let him bring an offering to the Lord. And then he begins to talk about gold and silver and bronze and blue and purple and scarlet thread and linen and goat's hair and ram skins that dyed red and badger skins and acacia wood and oil and anointing wool, oil and spices and onyx stones. And those who are gifted, with those artisans who can take these implements or these materials, give of that to the Lord, all of you who are gilded. And so all the congregation departed from the presence of the Lord, went out from Moses, from the presence of Moses. And they began to bring things in. Everyone whose heart was stirred and everyone whose spirit was willing, child of God, member of Palm Beach Lakes, let God stir your spirit and stir your soul, and let this be the kind of example that says, and that's the way I'm going to be in this new year. They brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle. They came, verse 22, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings and rings and necklaces and jewelers of gold. Every man had made an offering of gold to the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue or purple or scarlet thread or linen or goat's hair or whatever he had, they brought it all. And everyone who had an offering of silver and bronze brought that. And everyone who had acacia wood brought that. And all the women who were gifted brought their abilities to spin the yarn and brought what they had spun. And all of the women whose heart had been stirred by wisdom. The rulers brought the onyx stones and the stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate. And they brought it all before the Lord. Why? Because they wholly followed the Lord on this day. You want to know how much they wholly followed the Lord? Look at verse 29 where it says, they brought a freewill offering to the Lord, all of the men and the women whose hearts was willing brought material for all kinds of work which the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. He had commanded to be done. Look at the next chapter. All the craftsmen who are there, those artisans there who have these abilities, with all of this gold and silver and stones and all of these other things. Chapter 36 says, they spoke to Moses saying, the people are bringing too much. There's more than enough for the service of the Lord. Moses gave a commandment and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work bringing an offering to the Lord. And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for the work to be done. Indeed, too much. Will you make a promise to God? In this year, I'm going to grow. Whatever it takes for me to be more spiritual at the end of this year, I'm going to give my all to the Lord. And there's nothing that I have. My hands, my feet, my lips, my eyes, my ears, my body, I present as a living sacrifice to God in this new year. But you can't do that if you're not His child. And you cannot be His child unless you believe in Him with all of your heart. John 8:24 says, if you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins. You can't do it if you don't repent. Do you know why you're not a faithful Christian? It's because you haven't made up your mind to be that. And in the singing of this invitation in just a moment, you could make that decision. That is what repentance is. It's the rest of your life where you work to get it all straightened out. It's not you get it all straightened out and then you give your life to God. You've been trying to get it all straightened out by yourself, and look at the mess you've made. But you could this very day say, I'm going to begin this new year as a Christian. I'm giving my all to God. The Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all, that's every one of us, comes to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. And then how wonderful it is that you can confess not your sins, God already knows about them, but confess your faith and fidelity to Jesus. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before the Father. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, Paul says, if, look at the word if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Have you ever done that? Then why not come this morning in that invitation song and before this audience confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God? And then how wonderful it is to take an old man of sin and bury him and let the blood of Jesus wash his sins away. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness, the remission of your sins. You get rid of them and walk out of this building with a new heart, uncluttered by sin, for God has forgotten them all. And He adds you to His family. You become a part of the kingdom, the family of the house of God. And then He says to every Christian in this building, you be faithful. You be full of faith. And there's not a whole lot of difference in full of faith and loving the Lord thy God with all of your heart. Be thou faithful, full of faith unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Are there changes you need to make as the new year begins? May God help us to leave this building resolved that this is the year above every year I've ever lived on this earth. I'm going to be the most serious I've ever been in serving Him. If you need to come, come right now. As together we stand and sing. Will you come?